It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're continuing the study in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. As we look at the first chapter of Genesis, we're going to read, as we did last time we were together. I want you to get familiar with these verses of Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read the whole chapter down through verse 31 and then through the third verse of chapter 2. So please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, and we're going to enjoy this study. If you'll remember the last time we were together, we just got through the first verse. Well, today we're not going to get much further than that, but I want to read all those verses. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. You could visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. You can find on that website, we have 40 of our radio programs and the Sunday morning message. We have from each radio station 10 of the last radio programs that we have had on the three radio stations, as well as 10 of the past messages from the pulpit. And so please feel free to join us there to get the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Now, if this is enough time, and I hope that it was, for you to open your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness was called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." God made the firmament and divided the waters from which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, have I given every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day after all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the Word. Father, we thank and praise you for your precious Word. And again, beginning this study in Genesis, we just want your power and your strength and your wisdom upon that I may speak it clearly, that folks will know that it is your Word and your power and your strength, Lord, please. I do not want it to be my opinion. I want it to be your Word spoken clearly. So, Father, please, that you will touch every heart and turn every ear, that their eyes will be upon your Word today, their ears will be hearing it, and their heart will begin to change by the power of the Spirit of God as we look at the beginning of your precious Word here in Genesis. Thank you, Father, for this time. Now, please guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a joy to read, and as we continue to read that much of the Scripture each time, as we will be going through in the next couple of times we'll be together, to go through the creation. But before we get that far, there's a couple things that we need to look at. And it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. There are two ways to look at this creation. It says, in the beginning God created. The creation as is spoken in Genesis chapter 1, or the other choice that you have is speculation. There are many ways that you can speculate that this world has come about, man and everything in it, but it is only speculation. Through all the study, all the scientists of all the years, it is still only theory and speculation. Evolution is one of these theories, and there are many other theories that come. All are speculation. Never has it ever been proved, nor ever will be, but there are many that speculate. How can we take this chapter and believe it? Genesis chapter 1 and the little bit of 2 concerning creation. How can we believe that something has just been spoken into existence and God has done that speaking? We can do it by faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and let's see what that chapter and verse has to say. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. Look at that third verse. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with the things which do appear. How can something be made from nothing? How can something be made from nothing? We can't understand. God created. In the beginning, God created. What a wonderful statement. I believe it. I know it to be true because you see, in His Word, He has shown me how to be saved, how to have my sins forgiven, and how to enjoy eternal life. Life from the day I met Him, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Through all of eternity, I have life because of the Word of God. This same Word tells me God created the heaven and the earth, spoke it to into existence. I have no problem believing that because I know what He did in my life the day I met Him. And that work is continuing. But it was such a great work, the work of salvation, the work of redemption that He did upon my life. I know Him to be true. If you have problems understanding, in the beginning God created, it's very possible that you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've never come to know Him and the Holy Spirit come to live within your heart. And so today, we're going to have trouble because you're not going to believe by faith what the Word of God tells us. How can something be made from nothing? Do you want to just speculate? Or do you want to just believe God said? I believe God said. If you believe anything else, if you wonder anything else, if anything else is in your mind, you're doing nothing more than speculating. Scientists, in their attempt to speculate, see many theories. You can look, and in studying, you find where one will find a bone, one single bone, a skull, or maybe just one bone. And they attempt, in their thinking and their theories, they attempt to take that one bone and create a whole body, or they take that one bone, and that's the missing link in the steps of evolution to get from here to here. And if you believe that can't be true, you know that, oh, I understand that, and I have trouble with speculation and with those theories myself. Well, maybe you like this one better. Some even believe that we have evolved from seaweed. That's a wonderful theory. I love that one. That's a tremendous thought. And others believe that we have started from nothing, and all of a sudden, slowly over millions, billions of years, we have evolved into what we are today. Strictly, totally speculation. One evolutionist said, he made this statement, due to the lack of material, there are voids that will never be filled. The idea of an evolution rests on pure belief. Strictly speculation, isn't it? So even those that want to believe in evolution have such a gap in their theory that they just have to kind of believe it because there's nothing that can prove it. And they say, when I believe God created the heavens and the earth, that I have nothing to stand on. I do, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is in my heart and He is true. His Word is the only Word that can bring a total change in a person's life, the precious Word, through Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God. God was in the beginning. He was at the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. God was in the beginning. He made all things. He made life. He is all knowledge, all wisdom, all power, all goodness, all mercy, all loving kindness. Everything good in the universe stems from God. All evil is a rebellion against God. Last time we were together, we took many verses to show that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, created everything. But you need to know, you need to see, that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, had part of creation. Verse 1, God created. This word, the word God, this word is plural. It's E-L-O-K-I-M. This word includes all three. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That includes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as we read in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and the 14th verse, and as we read Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, that we did, we read those verses of Scripture last time we were together, we clearly see that Christ, the Son, is the one that's active in creation. There are three separate persons, yet one. We find all present, but the Lord Jesus is the one involved in the work. If you're having trouble with this, let me take another subject and make an example, and that is our salvation. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have part in my salvation. But Jesus Christ, Jesus, is the one that's involved in the work, the active one. John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, and let's go to that so that you can see it. John chapter 3, verse 16, one that's a very common scripture, very familiar to you. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. What part did the Father have? He gave Jesus, that we might have life. We know that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is part, an active part of our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Okay? Go back to John. I should have had you hold John. We have the Father, God the Father, God so loved the world. We have God the Son, Christ died for our sins. Now the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now look down to verse 5, John 3, 5. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of the Spirit. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have an active part in not only creation, but also in salvation. But Jesus Christ is the active one. He's the one that is doing the work. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So much to learn as we look to these wonderful verses of Scripture. I'm going to ask you a question now as we come into the second verse. You didn't even think I was going to get through the first verse again, did you? Well, I'm going to. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Once again, we have not only the Trinity, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we have the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But I'm going to ask you a question. How much time passes between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1? There's a very popular theory, and that theory is called the gap theory between verse 1 and verse 2. And I think we need to take a little bit of time to talk about that before we get into the very creation to see what, I want to see what you think. You can be among good company, or I don't know about good company, but around many people that believe such a theory. If you'll notice, I do keep speaking it as theory. And it is a very popular theory. Dr. Schofield of the Schofield Reference Bible. I have a Schofield Reference Bible. I use it, preach from it. I enjoy the cross-references. I really don't pay a lot of attention to the notes because, you see, when you begin to read the notes, you need to understand that's man. And so please be careful as you read any reference Bible, because almost every reference Bible has some notes of a man that's in there. Be careful that you study the Word of God. And again, I do have a King James Schofield Reference Bible. And I use it. I love the cross-reference scriptures. They really help in studying the Word of God to confirm Scripture with Scripture. But I pay little attention to the notes. One of the notes clearly speaks of this gap theory. This gap theory that Dr. Schofield refers to, and he's probably the one that's made it the most popular because of his teaching, people follow it. Well, it is just a man's teaching, and you need to understand that as we continue. I believe that this gap theory that is so popular today, and has been popular for some time, is a way, a means, for the Christian to say, yes, I believe in the Word of God, and also that allows the scientist and the scientific world to come in, because in that gap between verse 1 and verse 2, and that's the reason it's called the gap theory, you can stick in that period, that place, you can put 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000, 10,000,000, 10,000,000,000 years between verse 1 and verse 2, if you like to. That's what makes it so simple. That way the things that the scientists can't quite figure out when God said he spoke it into existence, by this gap theory, it allows man, Christian or otherwise, to agree. Because, okay, yes, I can see. And why they believe in that gap theory, look again, verse 1 of chapter 1 of Genesis, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. They believe when it speaks of the earth being without form and void, that something has taken place, something has happened between verse 1 and verse 2. And because of this catastrophe, this judgment, that they have placed a time period between, and then God recreates. He creates in verse 1, recreates in verse 2. Now, that's the belief of the gap theory. Again, it does give the scientific world and the Christian an opportunity to come together, which doesn't happen often. You'll find that any time that something true that was found by the scientific world, it will never go against the Word of God. I think you've probably already picked up that I disagree, which probably doesn't surprise you. I disagree with the gap theory. Now, the reason that I disagree is because I believe there was no time between. Well, then, Larry, how are you going to explain the strata of the earth, the fossils, the coal beds, all these things that take millions, if not billions of years to bring into place the layer upon layer upon layer, and the location that you find the fossils. There has got to be a time period between verse 1 and verse 2. That's what many say. We can put thousands, millions, billions of years between verse 1 and verse 2 if you want to hold to this gap theory. I believe that Genesis 1:1 is a statement, it is a fact, a statement of fact. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then the verses following, they just fill in the details. It's that simple. Now, if you want to say God never creates something that has no form, that's void, that's dark, then you get into this gap theory, because then you can say that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Then, let's see, let's come up with something. What kind of great catastrophe, what kind of judgment could have passed at this time? Oh, yes, we have the fall of Satan. I bet that could be there. And if the fall of Satan would be there, and that would have to have caused such a great catastrophe about the world, around the whole world, that then God later on, millions, billions of years later, he could recreate then the earth, and the earth was without form and void. That's what the world says. God said in his word, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. God begins and he takes this matter and begins to create. It's just that simple. There is no period of time between there as many want to have it. Now, where are we going to come up then with the answer of this strata of the earth, the level of the fossils, the coal? Where are we going to come up with that? What are we going to do with those things? We've got to do something with them, don't we? Now, we have figured out how to do it by just putting this gap theory in the middle. And so if we just put these millions or billions of years there, we're okay. Because we can watch how that this earth would continue to perform, to grow at the beginning, and then when Satan was cast from heaven, then there was this great upheaval, and all of a sudden that's how everything came about, and then it sat for so many years, and then God recreated. Okay? I've told you I don't believe that. I believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that was a statement of fact, and then he tells us how it was done, very little as far as how it was done. I already started with the earth. Okay? Let's begin there. It was without form and void. It was just a matter. Because you see, God can take nothing and make something, and that's what he's doing. And so you find between verse 1 and verse 2, I'm not going to teach you, nor do I believe it to be true, that there are the years between. We will begin next time. I'm going to tell you clearly, and I'm going to give you a hint, and that hint is water. Now, I don't know if that's going to help or not, but the location of the strata, the earth, the levels, the fossils, the location of the fossils, the coal, it all comes as a result of water. Now, we're going to begin there and then start down through verse 2 and 3 next time we come together. It is a joy to study the Word of God. Please, please see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you can see him is if you'll trust in him by faith. Come to the cross of Calvary. You're a sinner. You're lost. You need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. please come to Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?